Good morning. This is First Coast Connect. I'm Claire Goforth, sitting in for Melissa Ross. Thanks for listening. Just ahead, how the First Coast is preparing for and already being impacted by coronavirus. We want to hear your thoughts. Give us a call at 549-2937, comment on our Facebook page, or tweet us at WJCTJax. Then later, the man in overalls will join us for some tips on growing and harvesting tomatoes. All of that ahead. But first, it's Friday, so that means it's time for our Friday Media Roundtable. Today we welcome Emily Block of the Florida Times Union.
Hi,
Emily. Karen Mathis of the Jacksonville Daily Record.
Hello.
Shelton Hull of Folio Weekly.
Good morning.
And radio host Angela Spears of Angela Spears Communication.
Happy Friday.
Thanks for being here, guys. There's a lot to talk about this week. It's been a very busy news week, but first and foremost, what's top on most people's minds right now is the coronavirus. Now remember, we want to hear from you, so give us a call at 549-2937. Before we move on, we do want to remind everyone that coronavirus has people concerned around Northeast Florida, but for now, the most important thing is to remain calm but vigilant. Use common sense precautions like washing your hands, social distancing, and take care of yourself. Since being identified in Wuhan, China in December, the novel coronavirus, or COVID-19, has reached more than 100 communities and infected over 110,000 people worldwide, including here in our community. Just yesterday, the World Health Organization officially labeled the coronavirus a pandemic based on its rapid spread. As of this morning, the Florida Department of Health has confirmed 15 new cases, including one announced overnight in both Duval and Clay counties. On Tuesday, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis declared a state of emergency. There have been two deaths in the state, though neither in our community. On Tuesday, a Nassau man county was the first in our region to test positive for the disease. And yesterday, a man in St. Johns County, who'd traveled from New York to Daytona's Bike Week, tested positive. The spread of the virus has led to events being canceled nationwide. The governor has asked universities to move classes online and send students home from the dorms. Also around the state, nursing home visits are being severely restricted. Yesterday, the Players Championship announced that it would cancel the rest of the tournament. All of this news has residents understandably concerned. So let's hear from our media roundtable. Angela, we'll start with you. To date, only a few dozen Floridians have been diagnosed with coronavirus, yet people are understandably concerned. What are some of the preparations that you're hearing people are making?
Wow. I mean, people are nervous, and it's good that we're starting off by saying, be calm, right? Distance yourself here in the studio, everyone. We've distanced ourselves from each other. I think we're far enough from each other. You know, Shelton came in, you know, wanted to elbow bump, and I was like, hey, you know, so I think people are doing that. And I think, too, people are educating others. And one of my clients as well was saying that, hey, people are going to them and saying, hey, what do we do? What do we do? And we have to say, hey, we're not the medical experts, right? I think it's educating yourself, telling people, call your medical experts, call your physician, get with the Department of Health. I just got a text from one of my sorority sisters who's saying that she deals with clients every day, with her clients, and she says this is a disclaimer she's putting out there of, hey, don't take offense if I don't use your pen. Don't take offense if I don't shake your hand when you're coming in. You know, I'm not going to read her whole disclaimer here, but she just sent it to me. You know, it's like three or four paragraphs long that she's explaining to her clients of why she's doing what she's doing. So I think people are nervous. They're taking the precautions. I have a good girlfriend of mine. She said that her partner, you know, is over. It's a senior, has a cold. And she's a little nervous, so she said she called the health department yesterday. The health department told her, you know, she said, hey, can I get tested? The health department said, hey, you have to get a referral from her doctor. So she's going to call the doctor to see if the doctor can get a test for her or if she needs to get that referral. So I think people are trying to be vigilant. They're buying up toilet paper, y'all, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing pictures of empty shelves in grocery stores all around the region.
I saw it for myself when I went to the store.
You know, testing is one of the things that people have been talking about in a lot association with the virus. People have some concerns. Shelton, what is the situation? What are people's perceptions of how the government has rolled out the testing for coronavirus?
Well, you know, the testing situation has been very controversial. We are far behind on the number of people getting tested compared to other countries in the world. One thing I would point to is Representative Katie Porter from California. Yesterday, she had my favorite political moment of the year so far. She had the head of the CDC out in front of Congress, and she took him to the woodshed and made him declare on the record that the CDC would cover the cost of coronavirus testing for anyone in the country who doesn't have medical insurance. And so now people know that they can do it. But the odd thing about this situation is the disease has an incubation period of 2 weeks. So people can have it for up to two weeks and not show symptoms. So that creates that leeway creates a lot of problems for regular people, especially working folks and those of us who are journalists here. We're all journalists here. We shake hands all the time. We're around people all the time. We're in rooms and stuff. So this whole thing with washing your hands and being vigilant, that's something that we're already kind of used to. And thankfully, this time of year, it's kind of cold and flu season in a lot of the country. So people already have their minds moving in that direction.
Yes, as people around the nation and in our community are starting to decide whether or not they're going to work remotely if they have the availability or not go to work at all, we're seeing events being canceled like the Players. The Jumbo Shrimp yesterday announced they were postponing the beginning of the season. All of these are going to take a toll on the local economy. We're also seeing on the national front stocks and the global front as well. Karen, what kind of impacts are we going to see in our region on the economy based on COVID-19 now and in the months to come?
Well, we've already seen the Players cancel, and that's probably the largest example of the many events that I hear are being postponed or canceled. And when you have all those events postponed, that puts a lot of people out of work for that time. You have a lot of vendors, you have a lot of the Uber drivers, Lyft drivers, they can't do their jobs. So you have a lot of people with trade shows, they're just trying to set up. So that's one example. But you're also seeing a lot of uncertainty, and businesses just don't know what the future is going to be. And should they invest in a capital investment? Should they bring in the new furniture? What are they going to do? And uncertainty is probably the worst feeling within the economy. It just comes to a standstill. And for instance, the Downtown Investment Authority has been working with a lot of downtown projects. And the question now is, will this lead to a recession? And if it does, what's going to happen to all of the projects that are being discussed? Because if you remember with the Great Recession, there were a lot of downtown projects on the books. Nothing happened after that. And now we're getting back to that. And the fear is there will be a recession, and something's not going to happen.
You know, Karen, you were talking about going back to the Players. I was looking yesterday on the news, watching the news, and there was a soundbite with one of the vendors talking about, we bought all this food. What are we going to do with this food? So they're encouraging people to go to the brick and mortars, but what about those places that don't have brick and mortar, right? All the people who hired all of these people to come in, are those people still going to get paid those hours that they were expecting? I mean, those are real questions. That's real life, because if I'm expecting my salary based upon, hey, I was going to work 35 hours just this past weekend, and now I'm not, what's going to happen to my family?
Oh, yeah.
You know, families are definitely going to have a lot of concerns about coronavirus. I know that local schools in Duval County are returning from spring break next week, and there have been questions about whether or not they were going to have students stay home, how that is going to work. Emily, you report on education for the Florida Times Union. What's the latest you're hearing about how local schools are preparing for coronavirus?
Sure, Claire. So the Duval County students were on break this past week. And during that time period, Duval schools said that they were doing a deep clean of all the schools, which finished yesterday, or finished probably today, honestly. But that's the most we know. When the last we've checked, which was 5 p.m. yesterday, Superintendent Diana Green put out a notice saying that schools were still going to resume starting Monday. Of course, we have to remember that that went out before the news that coronavirus had hit Duval County. So now we're kind of sitting in limbo, watching and waiting to see if that's affecting when schools will go back in session. I know other states that have been affected by the coronavirus, schools have started to extend their spring break instead of having students and faculty return. So we're kind of watching and waiting to see if Duval schools will follow suit.
Are schools under a lot of pressure from parents and faculty to consider closing?
Oh gosh, yes. I've had teachers in my DMs all day yesterday, basically saying that they're concerned that a lot of them, even if the students are young, they could be silent carriers, and the teachers are older, and maybe their partners are older or have pre-existing conditions, and they're worried about this just spreading. So that is a big concern that I'm hearing.
An understandable one. So let's go to your calls. Keep in mind, give us a call at 549-2937. We have Kimberly on Ortega wanting to talk about the procedures for testing. Kimberly, you're on the air. Kimberly, are you there? Might be a technical difficulty on my part as a first-time host. I can tell you that right now the Florida Department of Health, when it comes to who gets tested, you have to be experiencing symptoms and have either traveled to a country with an outbreak or have been in close contact with someone who has been diagnosed with coronavirus. Angela, would you say that that is sufficient in most people's minds?
I think when people feel a cough coming on, when they feel that they have a cold, I think people want to be tested because they're nervous. And I don't want to say frightened, but some people are frightened. One of my clients, as I mentioned, was telling me yesterday, people are calling his office because they have the part of their acronym is CDC, but it's not a CDC for Centers for Disease Control. Mm. That people were calling in saying, hey, we have a rash. We have this. What do we do? What do I do? Do I need to come in? And he's like, no, don't come in here. Call your medical expert, right? Call your doctor. Call the health department. Call that source who you depend on. So I just think people are just, if they feel they have the slightest, Karen, Chilton, they want to be tested.
Absolutely.
They want to know right away, okay, what's going on with me because of that, because everything's being canceled, right? And that fear, I think, that people have.
Yeah.
And another thing,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And another thing that affects is that because the testing palette is so limited right now.
Yeah.
There are a lot of cases that might be underreported at this time. The numbers that we're seeing for the Florida Department of Health are only a small subset of people that, have had either contact with someone or have traveled. So we might not even be seeing the full scope.
Yes, that is a major concern. As of now, they've only tested a few hundred people in Florida. That's a state of 20 million people. We had our first case confirmed in the state a few weeks ago, and people are starting to wonder how many cases are out there, really, at this point.
Yeah. And dare I say it, but here in Florida, we have extra reason to be concerned because of the Mar-a-Lago situation. It was just determined yesterday that a member of the staff for the president of Brazil was at Mar-a-Lago last weekend, where he met with the president, he met with a number of other people, and then he was confirmed with coronavirus. After he left there, he came to NAS JAX, and everyone's been looked at there, so it should be okay. But the ancillary costs of this disease and the preparations for it, it's having a widespread effect all over the country. For example, the Players' Championship does an estimated $150 million or so in economic impact every weekend. I talked to a friend of mine who's a bartender because, I know a lot of bartenders. And he basically said all the vendors, all the people working there that weekend, whether you're a brick-and-mortar business or just an independent contractor, they are going to pretty much pay their rent for the month off of that three or 4 days there. Over in Austin, where they canceled South by Southwest, that's $350 million plus in economic impact that's been tanked. They've had to lay off 30% of their full-time staff so far. And then that has a long-standing cultural effect. If you look at the big musical acts of the past year, like Billie Eilish and Lizzo, those phenomena don't quite happen without South by Southwest. So if you go forward to the Grammy nominations and things like that going into next year, a lot of people will come into South by Southwest and they're just garage bands. They're playing a little small gig, and 6 months later, they're millionaires. That happens every year because of things like that.
And to tag on to the players, they also generate a lot of money for charity.
Yes.
I was just going to mention
A lot of the charities in the city are on edge because they have fundraising events that are now being canceled or postponed. And the ripple effect to the charities is they then can't raise enough money. And at the same time, if you have people who aren't making the money, the bartenders, the vendors, they may need to access some of the social services or some of the services that are provided by the nonprofits. And so you have that cycle again. And we saw that in the last recession. It was very rough.
I was reading somewhere that Mark Cuban, the owner of the
Dallas,
Mavericks,
yeah.
Yeah, the Dallas Mavericks, that he is going to pay those people who, you know, obviously the players. We're not worried
yes.
about the players. They have their money, right?
Mm-hmm.
But those people who work in the concession stands, right? Those
yeah.
people who rely on the money, who really need the money, that supposedly he's supposed to be paying those people. And I know I heard also this morning that there's a member of, I think, the Cavaliers who's donating an amount of money to some of those people as well, some of the workers in the
yeah.
stadium.
And
that-
similarly, Disney World and Disneyland have said they would do the same. Universal Studios said it would do the same. But we have to remember that not everyone is in that same financial position. So,
yeah.
I mean, Claire, I'm sure you see this from the freelancing side, because I'm seeing it with my people, is that photographers and people, third-party contractors, like Sheldon said, are the ones that are really taking a big nosedive from this.
And just a note to our listeners out there, we're having some technical difficulties with the phone system. So email us, comment on our Facebook page, or tweet the show, WJCTJax. It is Friday the 13th, so of
yes.
course that does, we would have a little bit of a ghost in the studio. You know, local officials are under a lot of pressure to respond to the virus in various ways. Thus far, Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry has declined to mandate events be canceled across the region. He has urged people to use common sense and for events that are supposed to have 500 or more people to cancel of their own volition. What are some of the concerns of a local official as they try to respond to the COVID-19, Sheldon?
Well, we've been fortunate. You know, say what you want about Lenny Curry, he's good at stepping up in moments of concern like this. Yesterday, I was watching the news, WJXT. I saw Lenny Curry sitting there next to Tom Wills, I thought, well, there, those two are there, so we've got our brain trust together. You know, things are being canceled all over the First Coast. I can think of several events that I was supposed to go to that have been canceled, which is good because I wasn't going anyway. Officials around the country, one thing we're seeing, and this may be a controversial point, but in my opinion, the political instability in this country and the dysfunctional relationship between governments around the world has played a role in the rapid spread of this disease and some of the lethality. If you watch the president's speech on Wednesday night, things changed dramatically. His tone, his demeanor, his speaking patterns were entirely different than what we've seen before. So I think that what's happened around the world, particularly in America, between Wednesday and Thursday, everyone's been kind of brought back around to the same page. Cities and states are having to kind of improvise a bit because of the travel patterns and population issues. What's going on in, say, California, it's a different dynamic than the situation in Florida, or the situation in Chicago or New York City. And we're looking at this in a state like Florida, particularly the First Coast, where heavy tourist economy, lots of people coming through. I've heard estimates of upwards of 10,000 people maybe that are in the city of Jacksonville for just the day. We have to be mindful of such things.
May I talk about the white elephant in the room and you know, or on the air?
I wonder what she's going to bring up.
Well, you know, and Shelton, you kind of mentioned it. You started with the White House and Donald Trump. And so many people are disappointed and upset about the way this has been handled and how it's been handled.
Yes.
You mentioned that the pattern had changed, a speech pattern. What he's saying, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, it was like, it's no big deal.
Yes.
Right? You know, it's like, it's not this. Oh, it'll disappear. We're going to have a cure in a few weeks. And we all know the medical experts have said, no, you're not going to have a vaccine or anything in a couple of weeks. You know, so I just think people have started there where they're upset and they don't know where to go, who to trust. Right? Because
yes.
it goes back to Karen and I were talking this morning, Doctor, we couldn't say his name correct. We didn't, F-A-U-C-I.
Dr. Fauci.
Fauci. Thank mm-hmm. you. We were figuring out, she went to Syria and everything to try to figure out, right? We were going to try to figure out how to say it correctly. You know, this morning I was hearing him speak on one television show. They were mentioning, gosh, I hope he doesn't get fired, because he's out here telling the truth. You know, he's mm-hmm. saying it, that we hope he doesn't get fired for coming out and talking.
Yeah.
So I just think people want to know who they can trust, who they can go to.
Absolutely.
Well, and not everybody, of course, has been diagnosed or they're infected. But everybody wonders, is it going to happen? But what people do know is happening is they're watching their 401ks, if they have one, tank.
Yes.
The stock market has not been doing well. I think there were predictions it was going to do a little bit better today, but it is down 28%.
Wow.
Since February 12th.
So we don't need to look at our 401ks.
So don't open it. Don't even look. Just put it aside. If you're fortunate enough to have a 401k, that is. You know, not everybody does have a retirement plan.
Yeah.
But the markets, people are watching those markets, and they're wondering what is going to happen next. Because if you remember the last time, you just kept watching. You go, okay, I'm down 25%. I'm down 28%. I'm not going to open that. But businesses have to take a look at that, too, and say, okay, what is this going to mean? Am I going to have the money I need to invest, to keep my employees paid, to hire more employees? What's going to happen? Look at what happened the last time. And I think that's the big fear among businesses and people watching the stock market.
And a lot of the market declines that we've seen have been not just directly associated with the virus and the companies that are being affected by the virus, but it expresses, like you said, concern about the future going forward. After what we've seen this past week, all the stock market gains over the past year, which was a great year for the stock market, we were at the highest levels ever, all those gains for the past year were erased within a week. After what's happened this week, who knows what can happen next week? Go ahead.
So a listener tweets the show, why hasn't spring break been extended for Duval County Public Schools? Extend it 2 weeks and see where we are. It is the safe choice. Now we're going to try this again with the phones. We have Javen in Arlington, hopefully, who wants to talk to us about leadership. Javen, you're on the air. Javen, are you there? Nope, sorry. Sorry, folks. We're still having some issues with our phones, but do tweet the show, comment on our Facebook page, or send us an email, and we'll try to get your thoughts on the air.
Edward Waters College, I believe, has extended its spring break for another week, just to kind of figure everything out.
That's right.
University of North Florida and Jacksonville University are both transitioning their classes fully online, is how they're dealing with it.
You know, there's another community that will be affected by the virus that we haven't talked about very much, and that is the homeless community.
Yes.
As of last year, the point-in-time count captured 1,600 people in our region who are experiencing homelessness. How is this community particularly at risk, and what are we doing about it?
Well, the homeless community, I think in general, they have a higher susceptibility to things like violent crime, and particularly this being cold and flu season anyway, being affected by the elements because they're out there. And, you know, a place like Florida, for example, we have as many homeless people as the state of California does, but California has double our population, according to some statistics. So it's very unclear. And when you have elements of the community that are underserved, that, you know, aren't inclined to go to doctors, aren't inclined to, you know, get checkups and whatnot, that is how the situation can spread. And, you know, Emily writes about education. In my opinion, and I'm sure she might agree, that we're lucky that we had spring break this particular week. If this week was not spring break in Duval County schools, I think we would definitely have some issues going forward, because it seems like school districts in almost every major city in the country are having issues, like, you know, Atlanta, New York, Boston, Chicago, San Francisco. They're having issues with people coming down with the virus.
Yeah, spring break being this week was fantastic timing, to be honest. And we're seeing it with the state university system. That's actually what they used as their time peg to tell colleges to close. They said if your state university is on spring break right now, then tell those students to stay home and extend it another 2 weeks. Or if you're going on spring break next week, then extend it. So they're actually using it as a time peg is what we're seeing.
And Emily, your company has mandated that employees work from home. When did they tell the Florida Times Union staff to stay at home? How long are you staying home? And have you heard of other companies around the region that are doing the same?
Correct. I'm calling in from my kitchen right now, listeners. So the Florida Times Union, we are owned by a publisher, Gannett Publishing, who owns a bunch of papers throughout the country. And we got the notice yesterday that It didn't tell us we had to, but it told us they highly encouraged us to leave our building and go home. And then by that afternoon, we got a new email saying, like, please, please go home. So we've had team meetings about it internally at the Times Union, and our editor, who is fabulous and just an amazing support system, she was the one who was, Mary Kelly Palka, she was the one that was doing my shift with me last night to break all the news and put out push alerts, because we are such a small staff. Please subscribe in parentheses. But she actually told us, like, yes, please go home. Please don't cover these events in person if you don't have to. Even press releases and press conferences, she's encouraging us to hold our powers accountable and say, if you're telling us it's not safe to be with a bunch of people, then you should be live streaming your press conference as well. So we are all trying to practice what is being preached out there and stay home and just better our odds. So that started yesterday. Officially.
It's a local television station. I was having one of the anchors do something for a conference that we are maybe not having, you know, soon with another organization.
It's a lot of uncertainty.
Yes,
right
a lot
now.
Of uncertainty. But she was saying that the station, the news director told them that they could not do volunteer projects, right? Going out, speaking engagements, having school visits, talking at school when the schools come back in session, or having the school students visit their station as well. So I think the media, you know, we're really trying to take precautions with that.
You know, with everybody doing the social distancing and everybody worried about, you know, do I go into work? Am I going to be having to stay home? What's everybody going to do this weekend? All the events are being canceled. You know, I'd love to hear what the listeners are going to be doing this weekend. I think the beach is going to probably be a very popular place.
I think, and then our next segment, the man in overalls may have some advice on what we can do
to get out there and
really
grow a garden.
Yes. Do be out there getting
really good time for Netflix too.
Yes. Well, in the Great American Cleanup, all of these efforts are going on soon, so this may be a good time to beautify your neighborhood.
But I haven't heard about movie theaters yet. I checked this morning. I didn't see any postings that theaters were closed, and that, of course, is where a lot of people gather. What about houses of worship? If people go to services, a lot of people gather there. I haven't heard about that either.
A friend of mine was saying she was planning to go to the movies with her daughter today, and she was like, I don't know. She told me yesterday, I'm not quite sure if I'm going to do that or not, because it's that closed-in space, the close proximity. Yeah. You can't do the social distancing, and I told her, live your life. Go for it, but who knows, right? I don't know if I should have said that, right?
And I'd be curious to hear from Emily, because I know this is hard for you Times Union folks, because you're very aggressive about being out there and being in the, you know, the public meetings and things like that. To go from, you guys are pretty much out in these streets full time. How do you, say, do your job at a time like this when you're at home? What are the mechanisms by which you continue to deal with sources and get the story?
That's a fantastic question. It's really hard. We love being out there and being able to hold powers accountable and tell people what's going on and why they should care. So the fact that we have to do it from our kitchens and couches and living rooms is really difficult. But our editor has been really, like, the first one to say that there is no reason that we can't be doing what we already do, but while also keeping ourselves safe. A lot of the public meetings, for instance, have been canceled or haven't been held. A lot of the things that I would be attending aren't happening anymore, which certainly helps. And then as far as press conferences, like I say, we're really heavily relying on web streaming. We're also relying on our readers. Like I said, I have teachers sliding into my DMs like all day now, and I really, really rely on that sort of those extra eyes to tell me what's going on and what I need to tell people about.
Oh yeah, this would have been a great week to sell JAA with all the reporters.
Well, I need to break in.
Oh my God,
the Dow has surged this morning, 1,200 points.
Ooh.
So we'll see what happens the rest of the day.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, there's news is moving by the minute on coronavirus, so it's hard to tell. I have an email from Leslie. Leslie says that I have a neighbor who recently flew back from New York, and I've been wary of close contact just as a precaution. Now I hear that a Duval County resident who also flew back from New York recently has tested positive for the virus. Mm-hmm. It's probably unlikely that they sat anywhere near one another or were even on the same plane, but it raises questions for me. What is being done about tracing the infected person's contacts who are on that flight, who were in close proximity to him? It's a good question. I know flights have been disrupted. A lot of travel has been disrupted, including our own host, Melissa Ross. Her family members were temporarily, they had their tight flight from Paris canceled last night, but they managed to get on another flight. These are just some of the many ways that coronavirus is disrupting life globally and locally.
Yeah. Our editor at Folio, Giorgio Valentino, he's over in Athens, Greece right now. And, you know, with some of the travel restrictions, he was supposed to come back next week, and he might be able to because there's some loopholes for American citizens coming back. But it is very inconvenient. You know, we were talking about the market losses. You know, personally, I keep all my money in a mason jar buried in the backyard.
I knew you were going to say that.
But I'm still losing money somehow. I don't know what happened to it. That's what.
You know, and yes, we care about the stock market, right? That's so important. But, you know, also, we need to think about if schools are closed here locally. We know public schools across the country are going to be closed, and they are closing. I'm concerned about these kids who don't have meals, right? Who
yes.
don't have meals at home. And they rely on the meals, breakfast and lunch. Sometimes that's the only meal they get. Remember, there are still that group Blessings in a Backpack. They send meals home for the weekend for kids because they know they're not going to get a nutritious meal or may not have access to food. What's going to happen to those kids? That's what I'm worrying. I mean, I know that Dr. Green, this is all the things that they're thinking about now, that they're worrying about, that they're planning. If right now schools are still in session for Duval County, so I'm not saying they're not next week, but I know that she's thinking about these things.
And a lot of parents, you know, don't have time to be there with their kids. I saw a number a couple of days ago. Now, this was as of Monday. You know, who knows how it's expanded since then, but as of Monday, 290 million children around the world were not able to go to school because of this coronavirus. And given the way it's expanded into places like Atlanta and other cities in America, that number is probably closer to 350 million at this point. And you know,
what do you do with the kids?
Yeah.
Because the parents have to work, right?
Yeah, I mean, not only is nutrition an issue for children who receive assistance, but also whether or not they can even attend school remotely. Some children will have that availability and some will not. Mead emails the show, how does panic help? It's now a time to promote healthy eating, no smoking, no sugar, exercise. Start now. It doesn't help to be negative. And the government can't pay for loss of income or business.
Mm-hmm.
Panic is something that people have been concerned about. And you just want to urge people out there, remain calm but vigilant. Practice some common sense. Wash your hands frequently. Social distancing is being recommended. Reconsider attending larger events and just take care of yourself.
They said when you wash your hands, sing happy birthday twice.
That's right.
And I've been doing that. I'm like, I always want to start off with an ABC. I'm like, no, it's happy birthday.
Mm-hmm. There's any number of things that are floating around on the internet that you can sing that will last 20 seconds of washing your hands. Personal hygiene is very important in a pandemic.
Absolutely.
Now, who declares when this is all over?
That's a very good question.
Karen,
how do we know?
It'll be you, Karen.
Maybe the World Health Organization.
Yes, but how? I wonder how that's going to unfold.
We don't know. I mean, this, you know, one thing I'd say for the schools, for example, this is a good opportunity for Duval County schools and really just schools, colleges, universities around the country to think about their infrastructure for remote learning because, you know, this is something that's more popular among students anyway. No one, this is kind of uncharted territory. The airlines have lost more, money this week than they did the week of 9/11. And the plus side of that is I talked to a friend of mine yesterday. She and her family, they got 3 round trip tickets from Jacksonville to Philadelphia for $200.
So we need to start getting our plane tickets now.
Sure. If you go with Malaysian Airlines, they'll pay you to fly at this point.
And you just hope the flight isn't canceled, though, if you do get tickets.
I'm thinking about going and buying my Christmas planes and calling my parents saying I'm getting my tickets to Corpus Christi now.
Get a cheap ticket now. Mm-hmm. Just a reminder, folks, we're having some issues with our phones, but you can reach us on Facebook, Twitter, and via email. Steph comments on our Facebook page, can you talk about the money that was given to the banks, which had little effect on helping the stock market, instead of spending that money on families that have to be in isolation or spending money on more test kits for communities?
Yeah, $50 billion pumped into, you know, injection of liquidity, as they say. You know, as with most injections of liquidity, it didn't really work. Now, of course, the market's up a little bit today, but we don't really know. And let me say this about the stock market. We want value in the markets. We want our companies to be doing well. But a lot of these stock market gains that we've seen, you know, over the past few months, it kind of comes from companies taking liberties with labor, taking liberties with environmental and consumer protections. and whatnot. There are some people who said that we were already on the threshold of a bubble anyway. So this kind of it popped the bubble a little bit. It could hopefully be a good thing. We'll see how the rest of the day continues and how it goes into next week.
Yesterday, the Federal Reserve announced that they were going to pump $1.5 trillion into the stock market to try to avoid unusual disruptions.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in Congress, a bill to require paid sick leave failed.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are saying that that points to an issue with the priorities among leadership.
Oh, yeah. We have terrible leadership right now. And that's not a political thing. I mean, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, all Americans should be concerned about the fact that our political leaders are not able to, you know, get it together and to put their issues aside and to cooperate. The fact that the United States government and the government of China were not on the same page. The first case of coronavirus was diagnosed on December 31st. China first announced the disease had arrived on January 10th. We weren't hearing about this until a couple of weeks ago. We had the opportunity, you know, as a population of the world to get on top of this. Most of these people in America who have passed away from the disease, they did not have to die. Frankly, I have more confidence in City Hall. I wish Lenny Curry was president right now. I have more
confidence.
Spoiler alert. I have more confidence in the way they've handled it than what I've seen up there in Washington.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The fact that the president of the United States was at CPAC and CPAC had an infected person there. Then he was on Air Force One with the person who was infected. Then he was at Mar-a-Lago with the person that was infected. And the fact that the president and the vice president, there's photos of them on Instagram with the guy who has tested positive for coronavirus, but they haven't been tested. Everyone at Mar-a-Lago, everyone who was at CPAC, everyone who was on Air Force One, everyone working at the White House and at the Capitol because Maria Cantwell's staffer tested positive. We've had several people, Rick Scott went into self-quarantine. If Rick Scott, given his background, if he feels necessary to self-isolate, then that just goes to show how far the situation is going. They should all be tested.
And trust in the government has been a big issue with coronavirus, so the federal government in particular. Locally, Mayor Lenny Curry has aimed for transparency. Miranda emails the show that Lenny Curry wanted to provide transparency, but he found out that the case in Duval the same way the public did. Last night, the mayor tweeted, "I told the public I would share the first and any coronavirus positive with them when Florida Department of Health shared it with me and my team. They did not. I am disappointed and have learned about the first test via the news. Transparency and communication is the way forward for our citizens."
And that speaks to the dysfunctional situation now, because if there's a lack of communication between Lenny Curry's office and Ron DeSantis's office, if those two aren't on the same page, then what's going on with the rest of us?
And it goes back to that lack of transparency from the top.
Yes.
Shelton, from the very top, that we have to remember, Karen and I were talking about this earlier, that remember the, and I'm not sure what department it's the official name of it, but the infectious disease department that we had nationally. Help me out if you guys remember
CDC?
This. No. It's another one that the president fired all the people because he said back in 2018 that we didn't need this department,
mm-hmm.
that we didn't need these people, that if something came up, that, and I'm paraphrasing obviously, but if something came up, well, we would just handle it on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
So those are things that, those are the people who, the science, right? They're the experts who are supposed to be working on these things to help these things, to help prevent and help work on these things. And going back here locally, right, it's the transparency. Shelton, as you said, if we're not on the same page with the state, and if the state isn't on the same page with the federal government because they're not getting the information, what are we as citizens supposed to do? How are we as reporters, as journalists, supposed to be able to share that information with you?
The president's former national security advisor, Dan Coats, said directly to him last year that we did not have people in place to deal. Now, and this is just coronavirus. If there's a hurricane this year, if there's a major earthquake somewhere, if there's a tsunami, you know, if aliens come, we're not prepared for any of that. And it's very unfortunate. The president said, you know, and he's been kind of like the guy for the Utah Jazz. He was making jokes about this, calling it a hoax for several days. He said,
and people were believing that.
He told the media on Tuesday, they were asking him why he hadn't been tested yet. And he said, well, something to the effect of, if he had the coronavirus, the media would know about it before he does. And he's right. Like, that is absolutely true.
My cousin and I were talking the other night, and we were talking about Tom Hanks when the news came out about Tom Hanks. And she's like, oh, now it's real for people because they can put a face to it. And I'm like, really? It's been real.
Tom Hanks is the mascot of coronavirus.
I know, right? I told her, it's been real. But she was like, but you know how we think of stars and when they have it. I was like, okay.
Yeah. He's lucky that he was in Australia, because if he were in California right now, Tom Hanks in Hollywood, California, would not have been able to get tested for coronavirus if he'd shown symptoms there at the time.
I'm hoping that now that we have more cases that have come up in different communities, that the leadership of those communities, like Mayor Curry and his team, that they really do take the opportunity to get in front of everybody as often as possible to say, this is where we are now, this is how many cases we have, and you know, kind of make everything transparent so people know what the situation is and we're not picking it up all the time here and there. I mean, you need somebody to take this on and say, I'm dealing with this.
Lots to talk about coronavirus. Stay vigilant out there and calm, folks. But now it's time for the lightning round. What's on everyone's minds this week that didn't get into the discussion today? Shelton?
Nothing in particular, but I do want to say studies have shown that coronavirus can stick to money, to cash money, for upwards of 9 days. So I just want to say, as a public service, if any of you out there have money that, you know, you don't want to get sick, so bring your money down here to WJCT. Donate it. Listener-supported public radio.
Support local media.
You're hearing all this. You hear everyone in the control room. They're going, yes!
Got a standing ovation here.
Great advice. Karen, what about you? What's on your mind this week?
Oh, well, we continue, of course, during all the coronavirus coverage to, you know, cover city government and cover business. And there's a lot going on downtown. And this week, the Downtown Investment Authority, we found out, is negotiating with a developer for the Ford on Bay Marina land, the submerged land. Yeah.
I think it's, for me, it's just the concern still for local businesses. As a small business owner myself, you know, as freelancers, as with the work that we do, just the concern for the work that we do with all of this, just to make sure that we're still hired, right? That you know, as with public radio, that you're donating money to that you're still hiring, and that we're supporting our small business owners.
That's right.
And that's what counts, is get out there. Small business owners are the economic backbone of our economy, so let's keep supporting them.
That's right. Support local business and take care of each other. What about you, Emily? Anything else catch your attention this week?
Yeah, well, first off, Shelton said, are we prepared for aliens? And I would just like to say that, frankly, I am. I've watched a lot of X-Files.
Yes.
I'm good. I think that's the one that, like, category I feel protected on. But no, seriously, something that stood out to me this week was what we were just talking about, that Lenny Curry pointed out the lack of transparency between the health department and everyone else. And frankly, that's an issue that we in the media have been experiencing for a long time.
Yep.
It's not new to us. And I think it's good that more people are finding out about it.
All right. Well, special thanks to our media roundtable, radio host Angela Spears, Karen Mathis of the Jacksonville Daily Record, Shelton Hull of Folio Weekly, and Emily Block of the Florida Times Union. I'm Claire Goforth, sitting in for Melissa Ross. Next up, the man in overalls will talk to us about the vegetables he's planning for spring. Now that you may have some extra time at home due to the potential of being quarantined or working from home for coronavirus, it may be time to finally put in that garden. Thanks, everyone.
Wayne Hogan of the Terrell Hogan Law Firm.
I'm Wayne Hogan. First Coast Connect with Melissa Ross addresses issues important to our Northeast Florida communities. Our firm is pleased to support WJCT's First Coast Connect.
Learn more at waynehogan.law.
Congaree and Penn is a Florida farm dedicated to agriculture and culinary endeavors. Near downtown Jacksonville, the farm invites you to explore its acres and enjoy the kitchen, tap room, and events. More info at congareeandpenn.com.
As our global appetite for energy gets larger and larger, many experts argue the solution is going to have to come from nuclear power.
We do need to eliminate carbon dioxide. We have a shortage of time, and we have a shortage of money. Nuclear energy is really bad for both.
I'm John Donvan. The ups and downs of expanding nuclear power. Next time on Intelligence Squared U.S.
Saturday at 4 p.m. on 89.9 WJCT.
Avoiding handshakes, large gatherings, and keeping your distance. The coronavirus is creating all sorts of daily challenges, especially for Americans who are in prison.
Four times a day, we're wiping down the entire jail, including the cells, and we're wiping down before and after inmates come in.
How U.S. prisons are working to protect inmates and staff. This afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today at 4 on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Your attention, please.
It is 10 times more lethal than the seasonal flu.
Is the message finally hitting home?
I think that's something that people can get their arms around and understand.
It's been a week that's challenged how we work and who we see. I'm Todd Zwillick. It's the Friday News Roundup. That's next time on 1A.
Today at 10 on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome back. This is First Coast Connect. I'm Claire Goforth, sitting in with Melissa Ross. Here in the studio, we have Nathan Ballantine, better known as the man in overalls. He's going to talk to us about vegetable gardening. Nathan is a local gardening consultant and educator. He also blogs at maninoveralls.blogspot.com. Over the last decade, he's helped hundreds of locals realize their dream of a green or maybe greenish thumb. Nathan, thanks for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So with spring just around the corner, what should people be planting?
Now's the time for tomatoes and peppers and cucumbers, green beans, squash, zucchini, all the spring things.
I'm a gardener myself, and I gotta say, tomatoes are probably my favorite. I mean, there's nothing quite like the taste of that homegrown tomato warm off the vine. It's the best. But tomatoes, in my experience, they're a bit persnickety. The bugs love them just as much as we do. Fertilizer can be an issue. What are some specific tips for tomato growing for people like me who may want to increase our crop?
For sure. The biggest thing about tomatoes is getting them in early. So as soon as you can now. Our in-town and on the west side, our last typical frost date is March 1st. And so immediately after that, you want to get your tomatoes in. So we're in prime tomato planting season. The thing about tomatoes is they don't like to bear fruit after it's about 75 or 80 degrees at night. And so if you get a late start on your tomatoes, then your tomatoes may well grow and bloom, but a lot of those blooms will just fall off the plant. And then also, as you get later into the season, then you have more problem with heat and pests and things like that. So getting them in early is the key.
So plant the tomatoes early. Are there any varietals that you can plant if you're a little bit late and you still want to get those tomatoes?
Sure. Yeah. So if you're running late, then what you want to do is air for the smaller ones. Things that are more like a cherry tomato tend to be more heat resilient. They're a little bit closer to the ancestral tomatoes, and so they have a little bit more heat tolerance.
And is there any way that you can keep the pest off without maybe necessarily using excessive amounts of poisons?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Pest management starts with healthy plants. And so if you know that your soil is good, if you know that you're watering them well, and another thing you can do is not plant your garden so that it looks like a bug's version of a all-you-can-eat wings night. you want to plant a diversity. If you go out in nature, you never, very rarely do you see one species as far as the eye can see. It's a mosaic of different things. And that's partly a resilience strategy because pests tend to be crop specific. So if the moth flies over that lays its egg and it turns into a caterpillar on your plants, you don't want it to see just tons and tons of tomatoes all in a row because that butterfly or moth will say, oh yeah, my babies will prosper there.
What are some common mistakes that you see first time and novice gardeners make?
Big mistakes I see is that people put their garden in a poor location that doesn't have enough sun. I see folks start with soil that is inadequate and not all that healthy, and planting things out of season. That's a big one.
Yes, okay. That is a very big one. And Florida seasons are a little different than what many people from other places may be used to. My favorite season is winter for gardening. What's yours?
Yeah, I love the fall and winter season. But like you said, there's nothing like a homegrown tomato. So
absolutely. Yeah.
Sun warmed, you know, fresh off the vine, just delicious.
And, you know, final question, how much space does someone need to start their own garden? Can you garden in a condominium?
Sure, absolutely. I know a number of folks that buy bags of My Magic Mix, and they're using that to grow container gardens on their balcony and such like that. And I met this lady originally from Mexico who had her whole patio in containers with all these herbs that she had used for healing purposes and such. So, yeah, you can grow in small spaces, in a raised bed, a 4x4, or even in containers on a balcony.
Lots of ways to enjoy that homegrown goodness in your own home or even an apartment. That's Nathan Bellantine, the man in overalls, with his tips for spring and summer gardening. Check out his blog at maninoveralls.blogspot.com. Nathan, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And that's our program. Thanks to all our guests and callers. Our producer is Heather Schatz. Josh Torres is our director. Our news director is Jessica Palumbo. And Bill Bortsfield is our digital director. If you missed anything this morning, you can hear our rebroadcast of First Coast Connect tonight at 8 on 89.9. If you have any questions or comments about the show, send us an email to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. I'm Claire Goforth, sitting in for Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT FM Jacksonville. We'll be back at 9 a.m. on Monday. Have a great weekend and stay safe out there.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.